keep my little Spanish mommy. I'm trying to take you home, girl, just put it on me. I just dropped the roof, tú eres traviesa. Treat you like some royalty, me, princesa. She my little Spanish mommy. I'm trying to take you home, girl, just put it on me. I just dropped the roof, tú eres traviesa. Treat you like some royalty, me, princesa. Princesa, I like when little shorty get loose in the back end, so obtuse, goddamn, mm-hmm. And we sipping on goose on the dance floor, you don't like rules, me too, mm-hmm. And they playing my tunes, now we 'bout to go back to the hotel room, mm-hmm. And they like my moves, I don't even gotta prove, you already know I'm that dude, let's go. And I like her toxic mood and a homemade food, what we really 'bout to do, let's go. And her body real shapely, tan skin never been pasty, oh my god. Like damn, she feisty, got real mad in the cab, try to fight me. But that's just my type, see, think I found wifey, sound just like me. Damn, little Spanish mommy. I'm tryna take you home, girl, just put it on me. I just dropped the roof, tú eres traviesa. Treat you like some royalty, me, princesa. She my little Spanish mommy. I'm tryna take you home, girl, just put it on me. I just dropped the roof, tú eres traviesa. Treat you like some royalty, me, princesa. Princesa.
So I'm super steady. Put it on me, girl, I'm ready. Mi princesa, se ve que eres la única. Nadie se entera, there's something between you and I. We can hop up in a Range or a two-seater. Let them little bitches hate Cartier, your frames, now you can't see them. Ain't no traffic in my lane, people think I changed, I just don't see it. Come and put it on my chains, put it on my face, it's a whole meal. A whole meal and I'ma eat it. I pray every day, but you know you're my favorite demon, yeah. Can call whenever you need me. People wanna hate on us, so let's give them a reason.
She my little Spanish mommy.
Yeah, we can start anytime. This is the attic, baby. You know what I'm saying? We start whenever we want to start. You feel me?
But I was gonna say, it seems like that's something you understand pretty fully. Because when I look at your page, it's hard, man. It's hard.
It's not.
When I when I look at your page, I saw the studio. I saw a variety of different genres, and I also saw like a different sort of feelers going out into different industries, different businesses. So you kind of see. It kind of seems like you understand where the artist has gone. But right. In your opinion, where is that? Where is it gone? Or how does one make money as an artist in this day and age, in your opinion?
But first, this is The Attic, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, time for Warlord AM coming at you one more time. You know what I'm saying? We are doing our thing. Attic Friends on all social media. We Kill Cowboys in the Attic on all where you ever get podcasts. Special guest today. I'm really excited for this one because been knowing about you for a long time. You know what I'm saying? Like I've known of you for a long time because like you work with a lot of like my friends and stuff like that, but we never like officially met.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So like this is cool. Owner and proprietor of the Leo Lounge. We got Isaac Leo in this bitch.
Thank you for having me.
Right, yeah. Thanks for coming, man.
Yeah, for sure.
This is great, man. But now question.
Yeah. Hi, so, guys. My name is Sun. Go ahead.
How does one make music as an artist strictly, I guess?
Make money as an artist.
You're that mic, yeah. So like, let's get as close as
possible. Oh, yeah. No, ignore it. Completely ignore this.
Yeah. That's not, and you can move, move it up. It's the arm. So, like, you can move it up and down. You know what I'm saying?
Bet. Wait, where's the pickup?
Right on the side. The side.
The side.
Yeah.
Is that straight right there?
Maybe lift it up a little. Yeah. There you go. Right there.
That right there?
That's right.
Hear me good? Yo. All right. So, yeah. I mean, honestly, it's one of those things where it's like I'm continuing to learn. You know what I mean? Nonstop. Because... one thing is the industry is just like changing every day. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like even when I was a little younger, it was just a lot different how you would make money in general or just become successful as an artist.
Mm.
And now it's just like, I mean, the main things that I personally think is, a lot, you know, shows they say is the biggest thing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Touring, obviously. Merch.
Mm.
You know, streams is, that's not even something I'd look at for money. That's just to try to get my sound out there.
At like this point, yeah.
Yeah, at this point. Yeah, I mean, I guess once you're getting into the millions and stuff like that, mm-hmm. Yeah, you can start making a little money.
Mm.
But yeah, I mean, merch. I mean, features is one thing, because lately I've been paying for some bigger features, so they're making bread off of me. So
that's, yeah, you know what I'm saying? You might as well. You might.
That's
as well
definitely one thing
yourself.
I'm learning about. I'm like, damn, like I get to that point, you know, I could start doing 2-3 features, and I'm straight for the month. You know what I mean, or whatever. Like, so that's definitely one thing.
Can I give you a quick an opinion of mine, and then I want to know if you agree or disagree?
Yeah.
So I think that initially, yeah, it's harder, but I think it's better now in the long term, because it seemed like back in the day when somebody said they was making music, what they really meant is I'm going to make enough songs and try to just take that home run shot, which really revolves around someone else versus like, all right, I have to build a brand or I just simply won't make it. No matter how, even if my music is good, if it doesn't go viral, I have to do all these different avenues. I feel like that's better, but what do you think?
It's hard to say. Well, I think it also depends if you're independent or like with a label or whatever. You know what I mean?
Actually, push a little closer to you.
Yeah.
There's some gas right there.
Yeah, brother.
That's good. Yeah, you know, label, obviously, they're going to do everything for you. But yeah, if you're independent, I mean, here's the thing. I feel like, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago when... I don't know if it is easier in some ways, but it's almost harder in some ways because everybody... has the technology, everybody could be a rapper, everybody could do it. So it's almost like, how do you stand out? I feel like that's where it's at now.
Because there's plenty of content going around. It's just like, it's funny, like something my dad used to tell me, it's like, yeah, there's going to be no shortage of content. Like what's going to like stand out is actual, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Stand out material, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How are you going to like differentiate yourself from everyone else? You know what I'm saying? The thousands of other people who make music, you know what I'm saying?
That's the key. And it's like, you know, I thought just, people always tell me, like, just keep posting content, but that's not enough. You can post content all day and be the dopest artist in the world, but, like, if, you know, if
people no one's listening to it,
exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and it becomes wasteful at a certain point if you just, like, of that, like, content mentality, you know what I mean? You're just, like, you're kind of wasting resources if you're not, like, putting careful, like, craft into it, you know?
Well, that's
saying?
How I feel. It's almost like, you know, do I really want to put this album out yet, or is enough people going to hear it? You know, that was my concern with my last album. I had this album called Inner Demons, right?
And I was listening to it today, bro.
Oh,
fantastic, bro.
Thank you.
No features. I noticed that. I was on the other giant, what's it called? Lost Art. Yeah, Lost Art. I was like, oh, you had a few decent features on there. Yeah.
Lost Art, I was kind of trying to be like more of a mixtape, but I wanted people to hear it, so I still put it on Apple Music, Spotify, but I viewed it as more as a mixtape.
Okay.
Inner Demons is more like my first official album.
Right.
And I wanted to do no features. I wanted to produce the whole thing, but I ended up getting some other beats just because like I wanted those songs on there, you know?
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I was worried when I was putting that out. I only did one video, maybe two from it, and that it was go to wait. You know, it was 14 songs. I was like, damn, like I put
a full
my,
project.
Yeah, and I was like, project. I spent kind of years on it, and I was like, I hope people hear this. You know what I mean? But it actually did pretty well. I ended up a lot of that help was my boy Shlee Art. He does merch.
Shout out.
And yeah, and he
can you spell it.
Wait, what is it?
Can you spell it? Sure.
Can I spell it? It's like S C H L E. Let me just.
That's it. Funny. That's one of like the important things.
Yeah, it's S C H L E E Art.
Yeah,
got it.
That's kind of one thing I too. Like, I'm kind of like critical. I'm critical about everything, actually. You know what I'm saying? But like, one of the things I like see a lot of artists don't really do that well is making their name really just like I type it in and it's there. You know what I'm saying? It's like real simple. Like, you know what I mean? Like I was good when I was like Tommy Tynes, you know what I'm saying? Like one word, no.
Well, that's the problem with my name. Like it's kinda like people spell Isaac weird a lot. Well, they always spell it with two S's. They'll be like ISSAC.
Right.
But it's ISAAC. Leo. And I was just gonna go by Leo at one point, but there's
that'd
way
be hard
too
to
many
look
Leos
up.
Out there.
Yeah, that'd be hard to look up and shit.
And then I don't know, when I sell people Isaac Leo, they think it's like a stage name I made up, but it's my real name, you know. So I just stuck with it.
Well, that's what's up.
But yeah, no, Shlee Art, he helped me get this merch together, and I ended up like it was actually like good because I was able to kind of tell how many like real fans I had. I mean, you know, I had friends, family, all that, but I ended up selling like a couple hundred shirts, sweaters, all that, and like it really helped promote the album too.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, so yeah, that was that. It did very well. I still have people hitting me up about the album, you know, today. So like
a year later, and
yeah. So it gave me, definitely gave me like confidence boost and hope for things coming, you know? Yeah. I'm right now I'm basically working on this other album that now I am gonna have features. I think it's gonna be, you know, the best thing I've ever put out. I got the late night Jiggy feature.
Nice, nice. Someone we gotta get on.
For sure.
Yeah, yeah. He's real dope. I actually used to record him a little bit years back and then he was dope back then, you know what I mean? He was rapping and stuff and I just saw him just like keep growing and growing. Then he started doing like his Spanish thing.
Yeah, I know. I noticed that because it was like because he was like ADHD, right, for a while, and then he's like switched over to the Jiggy, and I was like, oh, that's, you know, say I can see the growth.
Like, for sure. And cool. Like he was good at doing the. I mean, he was good at doing the internet thing. You know what I mean? Like from the beginning, and then also I think, you know, he was another good way of getting your music out is like DJs and the clubs and all that. Like that's something I'm trying to do a little bit more now, but. Yeah,
like get like placement and like you know, like different kind of like shows and like shit like that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Shows and then just having DJs spin your records at the clubs and stuff like that or whatever.
I was listening to Inner Demons and listening to the things you would rap about, kind of the sound, the production, and I don't like to make comparisons, mm-hmm. but you know what I'm saying, what I thought of in my head, and I want you to tell me if I'm right or wrong, Russ.
Russ, yeah, I get that a lot. Russ,
but I say,
Russ is a nerd.
This is the thing, though. This is the thing.
Business wise, he's very solid.
I'm about to say, Russ is a nerd who controls everything. Nobody is fleecing Russ.
Here's the funny thing about Russ. I can't remember exactly. It might have been Late Night Jiggy who showed me Russ. I'm straight for now. Appreciate that. And it was like back in his SoundCloud days, and
a better time,
the Wild West.
Yeah. And he was making his beats. Honestly, it's funny because I was doing all the same shit. I was making my beats, recording, doing the same shit, right? And I was like, damn, I fucked with him. You know, I was like, he's pretty dope. And then I saw him get. He was getting better and better. And I don't know. I mean, I know a lot of people hate on him, but I do. Ultimately, I do fuck with Russ. But
at least about Jiggy.
Oh no, my bad. I was talking about Russ.
You know, Jiggy, so I was like, damn, he's dope.
I mean, everyone's got haters, I'm sure, but you know. But nah, Russ. Yeah, I mean, like, and then like more and more recently, everyone's like, oh, like Russ. I don't know. Maybe it's like because I got like a ponytail and shit too. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, that's. I don't know. I'll take that comparison. Like, he's cool. I mean, I was talking about Mike from the
subject matter and the business aspect.
Okay, yeah. Subject matter, yeah. I mean, I just try to keep it real and talk about shit that I, you know, life shit that I go through. Especially in the Inner Demons, that's kind of what it was about. It was like battling. You know, I had a song called Inner Demons, and I actually had my boy who had passed away. I sampled his voice on the intro and like chopped it up a little bit, and I put it in the beat. Mm. And so it was just like life experiences and all that. So
I get the like real authentic feel from you. You know what I'm saying? Like not. Barely any cap, if any, you know what I'm saying?
I try to keep the cap to a minimum, you know what I mean?
Like, oh, yeah, of course.
But it's rap, so you got, you know.
You're sprinkling a little cap.
Does that ever annoy you when working with artists, like when they're just like, you're just like, bro, like.
Bro, I've been recording a lot of DMV rappers for years, and I mean, it's like.
I just like shot cap, 15
cap
niggas.
Cap Central around here, yeah, yeah I mean, bro. It's, yeah.
I just shot 10,000 people, but I'm late for band practice.
I don't know. The way I see it is a lot of times the realest people are the ones that really don't talk about it as much, honestly, you know, but look, I'm not going to hate on it. You can do whatever you want. It's definitely a style.
That's our job.
Yeah. I used to hate, but then people got on me about it and they're like, look, you're not going to be as successful if you're hating on other people, artists and shit. I was like, yeah, you're probably right. I'll just close my mouth. But
yeah, like as an artist, but like we're more like Stephen A. Smith's, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're allowed to do it.
Don't put that on me. He a company man. don't put that on
I
me.
I mean, nowadays people will just try to cancel all day long.
Not them big ass suits.
I'm uncancelable.
Steve Harvey looking at his boy.
No, but talk a little bit more about the new project, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
so
how long did it take? You know what I'm saying?
I have inspiration. The problem is like, all right, so basically I have these, the way I see a lot of people do it now is you put out 2-3 singles, then you put out the album, right? You
know? Right, yeah.
But I'm trying to really go hard with this one. So I wanted to get a couple big features. Not that really matters, but, you know, it helps a little bit.
Definitely.
I got a couple of the homies on there. But, yeah, honestly, I'm kind of trying to narrow it down because I got too many tracks, you know? So it's like...
Okay.
That's been a problem for me. It's like, all right, how do you... like, what do you pick? How do you go about it? Like, but yeah, I mean, basically, I have this song Princesa with Late Night Jigga that I dropped, right? We have a video we shot in Miami. Nice. I had to get it edited a little bit more and stuff, but I'm going to drop that. And then I'm sitting on about two other videos. Basically, right now, I'm just trying to go crazy with the videos. I want almost a video good idea, for every honestly. Song. Like, that's what I'm trying to do, ultimately.
We predicted that last year, we predicted that this summer was going to be really, really big with the shows. And my prediction for this fall is this fall is video season, because everybody's coming in. It's like, you know, I just dropped the project. I'm taking a step back. It's just shows and videos, shows and videos, shows and videos. But I also wanted to ask you this. So in, you know, when I went to your page, you know, you had a catalog on there. You had a progressions of a few different projects, songs, singles, track, what have you. Where do you feel like your polish really came in, if ever? Or where do you feel like you discovered what your sound was? And what was the point you also felt comfortable experimenting? Because I saw the reggae EP as well.
True. I would say when I reached the Inner Demons phase, I was like, all right, I know that I could do this. Like, and I think that I could really make it, you know, stand out, you know, above a lot of other artists. I just had the confidence at that point in myself. And I've been doing it for so long, I finally reached to the point where, like, if I go to the studio, not to sound, like, cocky or anything, to the studio, I know that I'm going to at least crank out something that's decently dope. Not every song's a hit, obviously.
Nah.
But I know I can make...
Every song can be dope, but not every song is a hit. You know
true.
What I'm saying?
Yeah, like, true. Yeah. And there's still times where I'm, like, not feeling it. You know what I mean? That always happens. But I'm at the point now, and at that point when I was making that album and after, like, where I just know, like, all right, it's only just, I'm just going up from here. You know what I mean? Mm. It's just a matter of, all right, time and, like, what do I got to do? Who do I got to meet? What moves do I got to make? And, yeah, I would say that point is when I was really just confident. And the reggae EP, I mean, I've always been listening to reggae. I got family from San Diego, Cali, all that, you know, like, and just... Reggae's dope. I mean, I don't know how you could hate on reggae, but...
Yeah, there's not really that much else to describe. It's like, it's a fantastic sound.
Yeah,
you know,
so like...
It's like, you can't really go wrong, actually.
For sure, yeah. I mean? And so, and my cousin was in a reggae band and stuff. And so, like, yeah, I just was like, I had a couple tracks that I had made, and then I was just like, and I put them, like, a little preview out, and people, like, were loving it. So I was like, I'll just do an EP, like, 4 or 5 songs or whatever, you know, and then... I dropped that. I kind of just wanted to put that out as I was working on my album and stuff. So, yeah, that's what I ended up doing.
Nice.
Yeah.
I was going to say, this is a new question because it just popped in my head. This is a new question that I want to start asking people from now on.
But
this
is standard?
Huh?
A standard? Oh,
yeah. Yeah, you know. Like, when
did you... when I was writing questions, like, six questions came up that I asked everybody. You know what I'm saying?
Once you get your three, you like, but you're going to be the first person to ask. So, what does an EP... sort of, and I want to, for lack of a better way to put it, mean to you? Because for that, the reggae one, it was like, okay, this is me experimenting. Sometimes for some people, it's like, okay, I've been gone for a while. This is kind of where I'm at now. This is where I'm headed. This is a throwback to my old sound. What is an EP for you?
So I think it could be a couple different things. Like, it could be a little project before your album. I guess that's kind of technically what it's supposed to be sometimes is, a cup, you know, it could be like, I think like 1 to 5 songs or something. It's under a certain time limit before your album. So it's like, they're good tracks, but they're not like quite album ready tracks. That's what I think. But they have to get out. Like, I can't throw them away. You know what I mean? So
for me,
that's what it was. But obviously it wasn't like introducing my album because it was reggae. It was a completely different vibe from what the album's about to be. But yeah, it's basically, that's what it was for me, is I had these songs and I was like, I can't throw these away. Like, they're good enough to put out, but I just kind of want to put them out as a little, almost like a mixtape, but yeah, like an EP type thing. So before I really start working on that, like putting out the album and releasing tracks, singles and stuff like that from the album.
Word. But what would you say is like an album worthy song, or like what more like the attributes on a song that you're looking for to put on an album, you know what I'm saying, versus like a mixtape type shit?
That's a good question.
Cause I hear that a lot, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, people like put out, it's like, nah, this is not my album, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm gonna put out this EP, I'm gonna put out this project, you know what I'm saying? I'm working on the album, you know what I'm saying?
It's hard to say because you want, all right, there's like, I feel like there's like an equation to making hits. So you obviously want hits on your album.
Yeah.
But then not every song's gonna be like a radio hit. Like, I have a couple that are more like, probably more underground-ish, but mm-hmm. the quality is just there. I think it's the quality of the beat mixed with, obviously, your lyrics, delivery, how it turns out, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I just think the quality of the song determines if it's album worthy or not.
Okay.
But like, that's yeah. all a matter of opinion, you know? Like,
yeah, because even me, too, is just like, radio play, you know what I'm yeah. saying? Like, it's more just like a diluted term now because there's so many like streaming services and shit like yeah. that, you know what I'm saying? Like,
for sure.
it, a lot of really good hits and like a lot of really good songs, like, may not necessarily be like a radio hit, but yeah. you know, like, it'll go absolutely crazy on like Spotify.
It or, doesn't
like,
matter if it's yeah. radio hit because that's exactly yeah, they're blowing exactly. up from it, anyways, or whatever.
Yeah, you get like playlist, you know what I'm saying, placement and shit, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's just like, bro, you're already set, you don't really need to be on a radio, you're on streaming, you exactly. know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I got an idea, I'll talk to you about it after.
Oh, true. No game being leaked on the attic, you know what I'm saying?
You know, what's it called? Unknown T. No, Unknown P, my man's.
Yeah, Unknown P.
Unknown P. He said, I was in Jamaica, and an older Jamaican man said to me, "We no run no joke.
We run no joke."
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
No joke. Isaac, yeah, let's take it back a little bit. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah. how did you like get started in music? You know what I mean? Like, what is the origin of the Isaac Leo?
So, my family's just always been musicians. My dad played drums, bass, mainly bass growing up. I grew up playing drums and guitar and instruments. So we actually had a music room at my house when we were nice. Younger, and people would come over and jam and shit, and then my friends would come over and jam. So like, I've always been making music.
Okay.
And then I was out in Cali, and I was at my cousin's, the one that was in the reggae band, he started like making beats on the side with like Fruity Loops.
Okay.
Long ass time ago.
Fruity Loops. Like, I sort of remember that.
15 years ago.
Yeah.
And so
how old are you?
I just turned 31.
Oh, word?
Yeah.
I'm old. I would have guessed 25, dude.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm like, trying to keep that on like DL so that like if I like, you know.
Oh, we will bleep that out.
They only want young artists these days, so no, I got to act like I'm like 25 or something like that.
No, we'll go into edit and we're going to bleep it out.
It's all good.
Just to keep the air of mystery about
it's
you.
It's funny because, yeah, I was just talking with someone like, at the end of the day, like there's like, every time I say this, people are like, well, you know, like, 2 Chainz made it when he was like 34 or whatever. Like all these artists made it when they're older. I'm like, yeah, I mean, shit. I don't care about any of that because I'm also not really trying to go with a major label. You know, like they want like young ass kids. Like
they want people they can exploit for a longer time.
Yeah, yeah. Like throw some face tats on them and like
you know what I'm saying. But you get them on 360s and shit.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all brand though. I don't think it's that particular fact. Like, cause you're, if you were making like party music, like, you know, just fucking,
LMFAO you know? Was old. Like them niggas was old as shit when they popped.
Look how they had to dress.
They still popped.
But then what gives me hope is like, there's even people that are like random under like Griselda. Like I feel like they didn't really like Benny the Butcher and all them. Like, I mean, they've been around, but they didn't really like blow up, right?
Until very recently.
That's what I'm saying.
Like the last like three, four years?
They were probably around Buffalo though. They was because there was like a
I listened to a gun joint that came out in 2009.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they've been around. You're right. It's just like for some reason they like blew up even more recently, like a couple years.
I think they
started liking the right things, if you know what I'm talking about.
No, they signed Eminem after
Didn't Drake co-sign them?
I'm not sure about that. I don't know either way, but I know that they signed to Eminem like in some capacity, but not like, oh, you know, Eminem's gonna be arm over you in the pictures or nothing like that. Like
he's gonna little homie you in the picture.
Yeah, no. same way like Travis Scott was signed to T.I. for years. He might still be. You know what I'm saying?
That'd be unfortunate.
You know. But it might be some shit like that.
Mr. Allegation over there.
Oh boy.
fuck it. Just gonna leave it. Yeah, but I was gonna
get cans, but I wanted bigger ones.
That's all good. What I was saying was, he got me into making beats basically.
Right.
And that was when I first really got high and took my first bong rip and I was sitting in this room, I was making beats and I was just high as fuck, like off the Cali bud.
Like on some focused shit.
Tripping balls.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I had the beat and I was like, damn. But it was also like, once it chilled out, I was like, damn, this is dope. So I got into making beats and, I downloaded some free shit and then eventually got Fruity Loops and that's literally all I would do. When I got home from school or whatever, I was just making beats all day. Like my friends would come over and chill in my room. I would make beats while they chilled there.
Nice. You lived around here?
I live in Germantown. Grew up in Germantown.
Grew up in Germantown. So yeah. you went to
Seneca.
Boo.
But why you went to like?
We're G-Burg heads.
Oh, G-Burg.
Yeah, we're G-Burg heads.
Yeah.
You guys were famous for STDs.
What? That was like even 50 years ago. Everyone still says that shit,
bro. Because it's true. It's so true. Funny. It's as true now as it was back then.
No, is it really?
I'm 5 years out of high school.
When
I left, that was what was being talked about.
People are still saying that. That's funny as hell.
That's what, because I was thinking, it's like, yeah, you're
good thing I tried to stick with the girls outside of out. There wasn't that many baddies at my school, unfortunately.
Oh, where were the baddies at?
Baddies were at like, was it like Sherwood? There were some like
the milk.
Yeah, for sure. Not, yes, there indeed. Were some. Yeah, I like to try to mix it up, but nah, there was not.
You got to, bro. You
there was like a couple.
This is Moco after all.
Yeah, for sure. I have a daughter. My baby mom is Spanish, so
nice.
Tell me about
I like all races.
Tell me about your early musical influences.
Love has no color.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Early musical influences. So I'd say, like, it's funny because I have a horrible memory. I don't know if it's from just smoking weed or whatever, but for some reason I can always remember when people, like, the people that introduced me to certain artists. Like, I remember who first introduced me. Like, everybody, it's weird. Like, I remember, person who gave me my first.
Yeah, move
like,
that a little bit closer. Yeah.
A little closer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Person who gave me my, like, first albums, you know? Like, my boy gave me, like, what was it? Atmosphere.
What?
Oh, we're in. Oh, okay. Bet.
Yo. Yo.
I haven't heard Atmosphere in such a long time.
And who else? And I mean, I remember, Jurassic 5. I remember my boy.
Yo.
That gave me that first album. I remember using Napster and then LimeWire. I used to download the old 50 Cent.
Nice.
I was about to say, like, don't say Army of the Pharaohs.
Nah, I was Jedi Mind Tricks.
Another one.
Jedi Mind Tricks. We used to. I saw Jedi Mind Tricks at. I don't know. It was like DC. Or I forget where it was. But yeah, like we used to listen bump Jedi Mind Tricks all the time.
I know there was mad old heads in there.
There was, yeah, for sure. Yeah, there was like. Well, it was like a while ago, so they were probably definitely more relevant than now. Yeah. It was like in high school. So, all those people. I remember. But then, like, I think my brother introduced me to Nas, and so, like, Nas became one of my favorite rappers, like, off the bat. And then I listened to everybody, you know what I mean?
Didn't get into Nas much, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
I just really, his shit was so hard. And then I remember going to Lake Forest, and there was, like, this random store that would have these, like, bootleg CDs. Yes. I don't even know how they were allowed to do that.
FYE?
You know what I'm talking about?
Not FYE.
Nah, it was straight up bootleg. Like, they had the printed covers.
They had the jackets and shit too, right?
Yeah.
I forgot what it was called.
I bought a Nas album from there, and it's weird because I learned later on that it was almost like they had different beats behind. It was almost like remixes or something. I don't even know. Like,
where was this?
Like, the One Love had a different beat behind it. It was weird, but.
Which joint was it next to? Was it next to the Sears?
I think it was on the corner.
It was on one of the corners and shit. But you know, like you know that line. It went like EB Toys, Claire's, mm-hmm. and then that one joint that used to be a movie joint.
It was upstairs, right?
Yeah, it was upstairs in the corner and shit.
Yeah.
But nah, bro. They remember the joint that had like Eminem, jackets like, and shit, the SpongeBob shirts.
I think it was owned by like an Asian dude or something.
It was like an Indian dude or Asian dude, something like that.
Damien style.
That's what it's called.
Damien style, yeah.
Damien I don't
style?
Remember what it's called at all, but
no,
I
it was heard. Called Damien style because you would go to the front and like where you pay for shit and like all across it was just fake chains, and fake fucking mixtapes. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
They were the snapback plug back in the day. Yo, they had everybody.
I remember buying some old CDs from there. That was like some of my first actually buying CD, you know.
Mm.
And then obviously, once we got to the illegal downloading, that's just all I would do.
We left that purchasing stuff behind.
Yeah,
I was gonna say. Yeah, bro. I don't have to leave my house.
Just destroying the house computer, you know.
Oh yeah, just ruining it with viruses. For sure. You know what I'm saying?
So yeah, it's a lot of stuff, man. And then you know, and then I still remember this person that introduced me to J. Cole. It was the warm up mixtape or something.
Mm.
And I was like, damn, it's pretty dope. But I didn't realize how dope he was till later. Like, I don't know. Like, sometimes it takes me time to like really like discover how good an artist is. Yeah, appreciate.
Apparently, that's the hallmark of good art, for real, for real. Like, you don't like it at first. People don't. Yeah. Because you're not used to it. You know what I'm saying?
For
like,
sure.
Yeah, if you like it off first bad, it's because, like, you're used to, this is a familiar sound. Yeah. And it's a good variation of it or whatever. But, like, yeah, if it's, like, really good, really groundbreaking, you know,
I'm going
to
throw one out there. I don't know if you guys remember. There was this dude named Wax. Did you Are you guys hip? It was Wax and EOM. I think he was randomly, I think he might have been from here.
Word?
No, I'm not sure in my hip.
Oh, he had this like thing that went viral when you can like go viral on YouTube back then, and it was like him freestyling to this like reggae beat in the car for like, I don't know, like 10 minutes. He was driving and he was just freestyling. But yeah, they were dope as shit because he was just like a lyricist, kind of underground.
Mm.
He actually eventually got signed by Def Jam, but the dude who made the beat's name was EOM, Elements of Music. Mm. He actually ended up passing away later, but I got inspired by his beats because he just sampled like the coolest shit that you can think of. Like, it made me want to go. Like, I would look up like old Japanese jazz, like, or bossa nova, a lot of like old.
Yeah, because your sample game is kind of wild. Yeah. You know what I'm
saying? I try to mix it. Honestly, I like just finding the craziest samples.
Yeah, because I like a lot of your samples and shit.
I like noticing sample, and I sent one the other day. Hang on, I'm about to find this joint.
I sampled on Inner Demons, the song Inner Demons. It's like this choir. I don't know if you heard it, or like a dude singing, and I pitched it up. It was literally on YouTube. It was a dude that did, he does solo choir. So it's a whole bunch of boxes of him on the screen, right?
Oh,
and
nice.
He's like, he'll do a choir by himself. I sampled that and I pitched it up and I just like chopped it.
Yeah, no, because the one I really like is like I'm gonna kick your ass or something like that.
Oh, I know you're talking about. Yeah. I don't know how I stumbled on that.
Yeah.
It was like, I might have found that out. It might have been a thing on a video on Instagram or something like that.
Oh, okay,
I was like, yo, this is tough.
This is the absolute funniest thing
ever. Yeah.
Because it sounded like some like old blues ass nigga saying it. You know what I'm saying? It sounded like some old blues. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, you found it.
Yeah. Let Nas Down by J. Cole has a sample of the saxophone on the Fela Kuti's On Gentleman by Fela Kuti.
Let Nas Down.
Yeah.
Which one? I can't remember what that one sounds like.
You know, that's
actually beautiful.
I know I would know it as soon as I heard it. I know
that's my theory anyway.
I know the song you're talking about, J. Cole, where he's talking about how Nas didn't fuck with his album or something, or his single or something like that. Is that
something
what you're talking
like
about? I just can't remember the sample right now. But I don't know if you are hit to that website Who Sampled Me.
Yeah. See, they're not full out, but they got a lot of joints on there.
Yeah, they don't got everything, because there'll be times where I hear something, I'm like, I want to sample this again, resample it.
Yeah, right.
And I'll go look it up, and it won't be on there. Like, but they have a lot of stuff on there.
That's what's up. So like from where you started, you know what I'm saying, just like, you know, going back for like home from school and just like starting doing beats and shit like that. Like, how would you say like you've grown as an artist from like then to now?
Basically, I was kind of just into old hip hop, you know, shit, and I kind of thought that everything else back then was just cheesy. Like,
yeah,
I used to hate on Drake, and my boy used to try to tell me, he's like, nah, like Drake is dope. Like,
I don't hate Drake anymore,
and I was like, I don't either. I actually like Drake now, but I just thought that anybody that was like kind of singing was like,
anyone
who's not
like
real hip hop,
singing, rapping shit.
And now I do it, so I can't say shit. But yeah,
this shit is lame. We should be in baggy pants on the corner, man.
Facts. I was just into the rap shit. So I just, but that I'm glad I changed, because that's all it is now. I mean, it's everything. I like it because it's everything. There's still people that are still just spitting bars that are blowing up. You know what I mean? Like,
there's such a bigger range.
Corday and shit. Yeah. And like, you know, I like, so it's dope how it is now. I actually like how it is.
People are upset because the responsibility for finding music they like is on them now. Instead of just turning on the radio and that's objectively the best person in it.
Right.
Yeah. Like when 50 Cent was on the radio, he was one of the best motherfuckers out there. The best motherfucker out there might be doing a show
from the DMV
for sure. 100
people. He might be on the attic, you know what I'm saying?
He might be sitting right here. At that, and so basically at the time, it's funny because there is a lot of similarities, I feel like, with me and Russ, because he was started off just producing like I did. And my boy Jake Crawford, like, we basically,
I like the joint y'all did. It was good.
Oh, appreciate it. Yeah, like, so we've been working for years now, and he was one of the first real, like, I was recording my friends and people, but we just clicked. He came to the studio. Someone else brought him for a feature, and he came and he just knocked his verse out one take, like, just killed it. And I was like, oh, shit. And then we just started working. And basically, we did this thing where, and he lived up in Boonesboro.
Oh, God. So, is that the name of the place, or is that like a slang term?
Oh, no, it's real. It's called Boonesboro.
Boonesboro.
It's, you know, it's like...
boonies, like shit.
It's out in the boonies. It's like that, yeah. I feel like it's weird. It's almost like Hagerstown. It's like, almost like, you know, like some areas are like kind of like country ghetto. Like,
yeah.
It's like...
Ain't in Germantown no more, boy.
It's it. Dude, it's not. I had to drive. So I would drive up there a lot. Sometimes he would come down, but... But we basically worked on an album where I was producing the whole, all the beats, and he was rapping, right?
Right.
But I ended up, at that time I was rapping, but I was getting a little better, so I ended up getting on like three of the tracks or so, but it was really just all my production. That's what really got me, and I learned from him, like, bars, and he's really good at writing, like, yeah, that's kind of what got me into really rapping, was doing that project with him, and then, like, I just kept going from there. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, I hate, like, listening back to your old shit. It's just...
I don't even listen back to podcasts, dude.
I'm gonna forget everything I said.
You just sound so funny. Like, yeah. It's...
I hate my voice.
Yeah, I hate it. You either sound like... I sound like a little girl, or just, like... Shit is just... It's embarrassing. Off,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. This is my own head. It's off. You know what I'm saying? Like, I should have the sultry voice of a Morgan Freeman, but...
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Or the Allstate guy.
He has no power here.
Or the Allstate guy.
So I actually at one point ended up signing a contract for this label. I got out of it. It's kind of a long story. I could try to get the quick version, but
yeah, quick version, bro. Fuck.
I met this girl that I had met that I was chilling. I met her on Tinder, I believe.
Oh boy.
That's another great story. I will say, I don't know if I'm allowed to put. I don't know if we should cut this out, but
fuck no.
let's gauge that after you say it.
Just don't say a name, dude.
I won't say any names, but basically, what had happened was at the time you could do group Tinder, and it was like, all right, like basically, say like we all had Tinder profiles. We make a group and you match with groups of girls, so then you can all go out and hang out. It's dope. Actually, it was better.
That's actually not a bad idea.
Yeah, it was legit. I don't know why they took that feature away.
That's a great feature.
I can
think
of a few reasons.
And that feature worked out really well for me this time, actually, because basically it was New Year's and we were going to a party, and there was three of us, three of them, and the one was like into me or whatever, and then like basically. The one wasn't into my other boy, and so they like lived together. So I ended up going back with him, and then in the car she like looked at me and she was like you know, my friend's going through a lot. She was like, but like if you wanna she was like, if you wanna fuck me, you gotta fuck my friend too.
Oh God, no.
And I was like,
agree to this?
I was like, oh Lord, thank you Jesus. And then
okay.
And that was how I brought my new year. That was how I brought the new year in.
Fuck yeah, dude.
And it was great.
Shout out the year.
It was a good year. Good year.
All right, I guess, guys.
Yeah, I was like, just if I have to.
I was like, if I have time.
You know what I mean?
Nah, but.
You have time, you know what I'm talking
so,
about.
So, anyways, long story short, that chick who actually, like, we remained cool after that. Like, she's just like a friend, kind of. And I had sent her this one song I had called Life. Actually never got released, and she was like out in in DC at some club or at like a lounge and met this guy and was telling him about me, and then she was like, yeah, like, and we're hanging out later. She's like, send him the song, send it to him, and he was like,
he's gonna wife her too.
Oh yeah, nah, he was a older feller.
Like sure, yeah.
So anyways, yeah, he basically was like, you know how it goes. People talk all the time in this industry. Oh, I do this, I did that, blah, 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 blah. All I hear is like, blah, blah, blah.
Like that Russian guy from California we met.
Like, at first I didn't take anything he said seriously, you know, but he was talking about doing all the shit he's done in the industry, like all this stuff. So
he's been in the room in.
But at the same time, if it was an opportunity, I didn't want to just brush it off. So yeah. I ended up meeting up with him. You know, he actually did know hella people like in DC, and like we get into places and stuff. And he was, and you know, pretty much most of what he said was true, you know, like,
oh shit.
Sure. Yeah. But it was from a long time ago.
Oh, type so, shit. He was kind of like saying like this happened like a year ago.
Yeah, it was just when he told me, you know, when it was, but it's just the industry's changed so much, so we couldn't see eye to eye on a lot of stuff. Like, you know, he's talking about BET and things and like and stuff like that, which is cool, but there's so much other shit we got to focus on right now. And then like, you know, in radio, which radio is, he did get me on WPGC a couple of times, which that was really dope for me. Yeah, that was fire. But you know, there was just other things that we needed to do, in my opinion, you know. And then but it was cool. I mean, dude, I wasn't gonna sign this contract. Finally, his lawyer, I talked to her and she convinced me, because she was like, she knew everybody. She was like Missy Elliott's lawyer. She was Kanye West's lawyer. Jeez. She fucking knew all, like, the owner of Atlantic. She knew all these people. And I was like, all right, what do I have to lose? Like, I'm just gonna do, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was going all right for a little while. I got to open up one. They weren't there when I was performing, but I opened up for Scarface.
Nice.
And Backyard Band at this show. That was dope. But again, it was like, you know how it goes for opening up acts. Like,
yeah,
they're not even really there.
Yeah,
but,
you know. Yeah.
But it was dope, and I still technically did. So,
hey, you know. Yeah, that happened. You say you did it, yeah.
Yeah, so there was good things about it, but ultimately we couldn't get along, and things weren't working out. And I got a lawyer. I had to get out of the contract. We definitely, okay. If, you know, he definitely was bitter about that whole situation. He still is. So I don't know where he's at now, but if he sees this, I'm sorry, bro. It just saying is what. Nah, I'm not even gonna have any ill intentions. You know what I mean? Like, but you know, I want to make what the fuck I want to make, and I don't want anybody to tell me what I'm gonna make. So that's kind of was part of it too.
Yeah, that should be a big part of it for most people.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying,
like, that's why I can't sign. About art, I'm not signing to a label. I will sign like a distribution deal, maybe, or something like, or whatever.
That's, yeah, that, I think, yeah. I think that that's the thing too. I've said before, we don't want to get on a misconception of like, hey, never sign anything. Like, sign things that are in your favor. Sign things that make sense. Sign things
like,
don't get taken.
I would sign to Dreamville.
That,
I mean,
make sense.
They treat their art as well.
That would be fire. Yeah, or just like, you know, artists will, I don't know how it works when an artist signs another artist. Does that mean you're under their label or I don't know. You know what I mean?
It depends what you sign them to.
Yeah.
It's like some people get signed as producers. Some people get signed as artists. Some people is just like, all right, I signed you. Now you open up for me everywhere. Cause people already fuck with you and they fuck with me too.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So I can build your brand and, you know, so on and so forth. But
yeah, I feel like this thing is just like, yeah, you can use the studios I use. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like you can use the.
I just want to know, or like do that. They push your music? Do they, you know, do they basically, all, like, I'll put it this way. All I need is marketing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
At the end of the day. Mm. Well, shows, obviously, like shows, but marketing, whatever. I need like an A&R, a manager. That's at the end manager, of the, at the end of the day. It's like that's all I need. I can obviously have my own studio. I do everything else.
Let me ask you this though. I mean, you're one of the artists that we've interviewed. You're farther along, I think, than some other people that we've interviewed. And you've also had some experience in radio, which I think is interesting. Like
a little bit, but yeah.
Go a little bit more into that.
I mean, basically, all it was for me was the dude that I, you know, was signed with that label thing. He had a connection at WPGC with this dude who's hella cool, actually. He was cool with me. He would still talk to me on Instagram a little bit sometimes.
Oh, nice.
But he had a show, like, on the weekend, and he would play. It wasn't anything crazy. It was like I'm straight. So I've been slowing down on the blazing these days. I just
we found out we can smoke in the studio, so we're just like,
that's tight. I can't smoke in my spot. By the way, I'm right down the street. I'm right off of
everybody's
right by Guitar Center.
Oh, everybody's on his block, man.
Yeah, by Guitar Center, my studio.
This is the place to be.
For sure. So yeah, I what was I saying?
We were talking about like
that's why I gotta stop smoking weed.
Like you were talking about like radio play, like how the guy catch water and shit like that. Yeah.
So he just basically he got the. I mean, he just had a connection with the dude and he got him to spin it. And it's funny because the song wasn't even out, but the guy on the radio, he was cool, man. He siced me on the radio like crazy. He was like, you know what? I might even have it. I still have it. I was gonna use it for an intro actually for like my project, but he was like. Isaac Lee was like super producer, super artist, like amazing lyricist, and he was just like sicing me up.
I didn't give you any good intro, dude.
It's all good, but yeah, like he's a cool guy, and then like he fucked with my music, and yeah, he played it probably like 3 times, I think, different points. I didn't know exactly what was gonna come on, so I would just sit and have the radio on. Like I was either in my car driving around or just like, because I wanted to get a video of it, you know,
nice,
which I do have a couple of them. But yeah, nah, it was cool, man. It was trippy hearing it. You know what I mean? It has like that different sound, like radio, like compression sounds. Like,
yeah, exactly. Because they edited for the radio. It's shit fucking. Like that, yeah.
It was dope. It was really dope. And there was a couple people that actually hit me up and didn't know it was gonna be on, and they heard it, which was crazy. Yo. Yeah. Isaac. But yeah, that was cool. I mean, I still want to. That's one of those things I still want to do. I think I don't know how to do it solo. You know what I mean? I think you just reach out, maybe. You might have to pay some bread. I don't know.
Nah, yeah, because we were talking to Lobby Smokes. I think it's Reckless Lobby now.
Yeah.
But we were talking to him and his manager. He came through and shit like that. We're talking like the importance of like having management now at like the level that everyone's getting to. You know what I'm saying? Because like at a certain point, you can't really do it all yourself.
So yeah, and you need a team ultimately. That's one thing I've learned, because like, for me, since I can do most of it by myself, I never wanted to. It's hard for me to try to work with people because I'm like, you know, what are you going to do for me?
Yeah, right.
You know, saying, like,
besides getting the way.
Yeah, I don't know. But there are some really dope artists that I do fuck with. So, like, I can say I'm starting to kind of get a little bit of a team. I have a guy who's, like, kind of investing. He's been throwing me bread for different stuff.
That's great,
bro. And he's just cool. He's not really asking for anything in return, at least right now.
He knows. He sees it.
Yeah, he just believes. And, like, I really appreciate that. And I got a couple other close homies that... I've actually met through the studio, and they're good people. Introduced me to different people. So I mean, I'm definitely. I think it takes a kind of a team.
Mm.
And actually, crazy. I was just I just got this light show feature 2 nights ago.
Oh, word. That's great.
So I peeped a post he had online, and he said he was just going to the studio. I hit him up feature, so I just DM'd him. And worked out like a price, and I went to the studio. I picked out 3 tracks, and I just like went down at the studio he was at in DC. It's called The Vault.
Oh, The Vault.
I heard of them.
Yeah. So, he's a cool ass dude. I never met him. I had my boy Shane Alexander produced him and produced a couple tracks. So like he got me hip to him a while ago, years ago. And okay. So, he's cool as shit. And we were just like, he was basically saying the same thing about having a team and stuff like that. And, I think he said he was actually going to probably slide through my studio this evening. So,
oh, that's great, bro. Yeah. Okay.
He's another feature I'm going to have on the album too. Mm-hmm. So that'd be dope.
For real, for real. Yeah. Like talking more about the album, like how's this one like kind of differ from like your other projects? You know what
I'm
saying?
For one, I got features on this one. Like, it's funny because some of the tracks I wanted to put on my other one, but I was sticking with the no features are going to be on this one, 'cause they were dope. But I was like, I want no features. So this joint, yeah, it's got features. I feel like I tried to stick with a theme for Inner Demons. I don't know if this one has as much of a theme. It's kind of a little bit random.
Okay.
But
nothing wrong with
that.
Do
you think that's important for a project though?
Well, I think it should flow for sure. I mean, like I said, I got to go through and narrow down the tracks and kind of get them in order and all that. It should definitely flow nicely. I don't think they all, I mean, nothing ever is like, exactly matches, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But yeah, I think I just gotten better. I think since I'm just, you know, just continuing to get better. So like lyrically, melodies, recording and mixing, you know, I've gotten better. I've gotten a little more different equipment, plugins.
Right.
So quality, I think, is up on this one as well. Mm.
That's what's up, bro.
Yeah.
Did you record a lot of it like in your own lounge?
Mm-hmm.
All of it?
Yeah. Recorded all of it there. Except for the features, you know, they sent me the tracks or whatever.
I get you, yeah. What was the process like getting like the Leo Lounge together, bro? You know what I'm saying? It's like,
oh, the Leo Lounge has technically been around since everywhere I've ever lived. So like I said, you know, I was making beats. So I had my booth in the closet, like typical.
Living the dream.
Yeah, yes, yeah, you already know. So yeah, that was how the I didn't really call it the Leo Lounge back then. It was just, we called it whatever, the lab or some, like, everybody. So yeah, the lab. And then I basically, my parents ended up moving to Cali, and right around the same time I was having a kid. So I had to kind of grow up fast because I had to move out and raise a kid at the same time.
Oh yeah.
And be out on my own, which was good experience for me. So I was renting out a basement in Silver Spring, and I would just put it into my room, you know, corner there. And I moved to another basement in Silver Spring, and I had it there.
Yeah, like shit.
And then eventually, where was I at? Oh, and then my boy and my brother's friend was buying a house in Montgomery Village, and then me and my brother and him all moved into the house
at
the same time, and I've been there now for like 6 years. And so I was in the basement for a while, but this is all part-time. I had regular jobs. And then I had a full-time job, and then like, I think now it's been like a couple different spots. Like way back, I was working in a sandwich shop. Then for a while, I was working for this construction company in the warehouse.
Okay, sweet.
And worked my way up. I was like the warehouse manager for a little while, which is a pretty decent job, but it got to the point where I was sitting there making music, and I was just like, dude, this is such a waste. Like every day I go there, it's a waste of my life. So I eventually was like, I just got to quit and do this full time with the studio. My clients were picking up a little bit, but I still, when I quit the full time job, I had to drive Uber. I actually have that line in this song that I'm about to put out on my album. But yeah, I had to drive Uber obviously to, you know, for some funds. And then I was doing the studio. It was still in my basement at the time. But it was dope driving Uber because I would drive people all over the city, all over everywhere, and I would play them my music, and I would get like fans one by one,
nice,
playing people my shit. So
that's the guerrilla tactics, bro. You know what I'm saying?
It was dope. I met a lot of it was good networking. I think I got a feature off of it. Yeah, I've met a lot of people. Interesting stories from Uber, that's for sure. But then eventually I got a spot in Gaithersburg where I subleased off of this dude. And we kind of worked together a little bit, and that was dope. And then now I got the spot up here.
The space, right?
The space, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because you work with Davion, right?
No. Oh, I worked with him. Yeah. He's recording. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because they was my boy. You know,
I've seen him in the pictures with you and stuff.
Yeah, he lived with me for like 2 years.
Yeah. Now he's mad cool. Yeah, he used to come through like decent amount actually.
Yeah.
Because that's
how I first like heard you. Now I was like, you were like, oh, I'm about to go like work. I was like, oh, cool. I looked you up and I was like, oh, sure.
yeah, he's a cool dude. And then my boy that did my merch. There's this building up there. Actually, you know, I see you got the sticker of on the back of your laptop of Diego.
Yeah, Diego. Yeah,
he's in my building. He's right down the hallway.
Oh, so, bro, it all connects, bro. Yeah. I swear to God, it all connects, bro. Yeah. I swear.
Everybody's in that building. Yeah. So
look what's behind us right now.
I thought that was one. I got one. I got one of his in my room too. So
be safe. You feel me?
Yeah, he's cool shit. My boy.
Yeah, fuck Diego, bro. Fuck Diego.
Oh man. All good.
There we go.
So,
action. This is an old ass nail.
My boy Schliart he was like, yeah, they got spots available here. I went up there. He's got a t-shirt thing downstairs, and then they have pretty good deals. They're cool people there, and I just copped the room, and then I set it up there. Now it's nice because now I fully got the space to my own. You know what I mean? Before I was subleasing, it was like. So now, it's all just me. I could literally do whatever I want. It's great. Yeah.
No, that's great.
Other than when I have, it's slow and I don't have like, you know, that's the struggle of a business, but.
Yeah, just being in business for yourself, yeah. You know,
it's a struggle. Well, along with so many other things, but
you know.
I don't feel like getting into that. Clients, rappers, they suck.
Yeah, bro, we don't got the time today.
Rappers suck.
We don't got the time today.
But yeah, yeah.
For another
it's
episode.
Funny, that's actually one of my questions. It was like, what are some of like your bigger like artist pet peeves? You know what I'm saying? It's like pet peeves is like people like coming through this like the studio show, or like even working with them.
I could write a book about it if you want.
Fuck.
I think the main thing is showing up late.
Showing up late, yeah.
Or just obviously just faking on the session.
Oh, word, yeah.
Especially since I got to this place, I went hard with the deposits, you know. But for some reason, maybe it's the younger generation, like they don't understand what a deposit is. Mm. So I have to like break down how a deposit works every single time.
Oh, word. It's just that's like, annoying.
Yeah, I just like don't understand how you don't really get the concept, but yeah, or they'll just fight me on the deposit. Like, nah, I only got cash. Like, why do I gotta give you? I'm like, because you're gonna fake on me.
Yeah, bro. Like,
I can tell you right now, like probably 90% of the time where I was like, all right, fuck it, like I'll let it slide. They fake on me.
Damn.
So I'm like, so that's why, like,
is why I deposit.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. This is why the system is the way it is. You know what I'm talking about. I feel that, bro.
But look, I got good clients too. Don't get me wrong. I got regulars that come through all the time with their cool shit. You know, even new ones I get, like, they're cool sometimes too. It's just, it's, you know, It's a mixture.
No, I feel
the
that,
brains.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not gonna keep you here too much longer. I know you got a session in a little bit. Ask a few more questions and shit like that. But because you're just talking about like, you know, like the general like balancing of like, you know, like being in business of yourself, you know what I'm saying, running a studio, like rapping full time, shit like that. Like, how have you been able to balance doing that and like being like a full time dad?
It's hard.
Word.
I could tell you, you know, obviously you say full time, obviously I don't have her 7 days a week, you know.
Yeah,
being a dad, yeah, it's tough. It's been in a schedule switch over the years, you know what I mean? So at certain points I was having her more, I was having her less. You know, I was getting bitched at for not paying child support on time, but it's like they didn't really understand that I was running a business by myself and trying to do this and trying to be an artist. But, you know, it's not an excuse to, and you know, the baby mamas out there.
You'll get your money. You'll get your money.
Don't get me wrong. She's like, you know, it's not like she's like, that's what it's all about. But at the end of the day, yeah, it was like, still late these days sometimes on the child support. But listen, I support my child there I'm physically. There. So it's like at the end of the day.
Yeah, you're there, bro. You know what I'm saying?
She'll be fine.
That's the most important thing, bro. And I feel like a lot of people get that fucked up. It's just like, yeah, the money's definitely important. The support monetarily is very important. But also, fucking being there.
But like, also,
a lot
like,
of just pay the child
support.
That
people
there.
Don't understand is when the dad has the kid, they're still paying for shit. It's not like I'm not buying her clothes, buying her food, doing all the other stuff. It's just like, so you got to do that. Plus, you got to pay child support.
But, anyways,
what you're saying, it's definitely been tough. It's gotten a little better now. You know, my clientele picked up. I was making more money. Still goes through phases of being slow, busier, but it's definitely gotten a lot better. And but the main thing for me right now is like, you know, she's a little older now, so which is better for me because I'm at the point now where like, you know, we're really close, but I'm got to do what I got to do. I want to go on tour. I want to do all these things. I might have to go out to Cali for a while, like, and because ultimately, you know, like it's gonna come back and like, you know. There is a time limit of things you can do it. So it's like, I got to do this now, you know, and if it works out, she'll be set for life later. So it's like, that's the way I see it.
Yeah.
But it's for me right now, honestly, it's the studio that's like holding me back low key. I was actually trying to get an engineer. Like, I just want to do music full time. You know, I don't want to record to other people all day, every day. That's what I'm trying to do. It's just hard because I don't necessarily always have enough sessions to just hire somebody, you know, like, so it's, I don't know, still trying to figure that out.
It's a balance, it's a balance, but it's a balance that you seem to, you know what I'm saying, almost mastered.
Working on it, you know.
Yeah, because I feel as though like you're definitely like a staple in like, you know what I'm saying, the scene right now, you know what I mean, if that makes any sense.
I hope.
Because everyone knows you. Every person I've been like, oh yeah, we're about to do Isaac Leo interview. Where it's like, oh Isaac, that's what's up. You know.
The cool thing is the studio's definitely helped me out with that. I mean, I've met so many heads. You know what I mean? Mm. So like, that is the cool part about having a studio. You know, it's helped get my name out there like crazy. Like, you know.
Yeah, bro. So. What are your like your thoughts on like the DMV scene or just like even like the Maryland scene in itself? Yeah. Even artistic scene in general, because I feel like it's one of those things. We're in a bad neighborhood. Yeah, those are sirens. Those are real sirens.
Someone's dying.
Yeah,
someone's dying.
Well, like, even like the artistic scene, because I feel like they're all one and the same now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. I feel like honestly, DC is a little different than Maryland. I mean, I don't want to like look. We all know that there's a bunch of haters around here. But yeah, I feel
that's
like
the biggest thing that's holding
there's more back. In DC.
Really? That's where we get the hater attitude from, like, from DC.
They're everywhere. It's funny because
we've got to get our numbers up.
They're still here. They're everywhere. But when was it? I don't know. 4 months ago, 3 months ago, I got my video posted on DMV Hoods News, right?
Nice.
And I always read the comments, obviously. And so, all right, I got to do this because this is going to be funny. Well, no, I read the comments of like when they post everyone else. It's just to see what the feedback is.
Oh, yeah, right.
And
right.
I noticed a lot of people were being like, man, this is the same shit. We're tired of the same shit, same flow. Like, change it. They were saying that a lot of the time. And I was like, damn, like, I got to get a video on here because it's not the same shit. So I did. And, at first I was like, damn, because like couple first comments were just like shitting on me, and then and then it just blew up. It was like, dude, I had like a rack of comments, like 350 comments. It was like got a ton of views, and I was looking at the other posts. It got a lot more attention, I think, just because like some people were debating about it.
Oh,
other
nice,
people yeah. were hating. Other people were a lot, but all in all, got a lot more positive feedback than negative, and it was dope. Like, and I got a bunch of followers from it. It was honestly the best promo I've ever done. Like as far as online shit, you know?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I said that because basically it's just talking about the haters. Like, I don't know why, like there's so many like haters around.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think they always say like, it's hard to make it out of here. That's why people go to like LA or Atlanta or whatever. Like,
and blow up and like, don't really come back and like support the infrastructure where they came from.
You know, even like, so a funny story about Logic is,
please.
So this is actually a really funny story. It was back when I was dating my baby mama before my daughter, and she was in Greg's driving school in Montgomery Village.
Nice, yeah.
And she comes back one day. She's like, there's this rapper, because I was only making beats back then. She's like, there's this rapper, like, blah, blah, blah. She showed me some of his stuff, and I was like, oh, he's cool. And like, I was like, but in my head, I was like, he just raps fast.
Yeah.
No, but like,
we can have a full discussion about that, but go on.
So, yeah, no, but here's the thing. So, long story short, and she was like, yeah, we're supposed to go to this show in College Park. I fucked up because I should have fucking met him and I could have been connecting him.
Oh, word. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I fucked up. I'm not going to lie to you. I do think about that. Not that it really matters now, but like, I was like, I could at least have got him some beats because he would have fucked with some of my beats. But, you know, it is what it is. You live and you learn. Now I try to give everybody a chance before just like
dismissing them.
Yeah. Point. Yeah. Definitely. That was a learning lesson for me.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I'm dismissive as fuck to everything and everybody.
Yeah, so, like, sure.
I got to work on
Cause that. You never know. You just never know. You never know. And like, yeah, it's funny. Cause they were cool for a while after that. He would like reach out to her sometimes. Oh yeah. I also was like, he's just trying to holler at you. Like whatever. So then like, so I just kind of like,
I'm a rapper. Yeah. I'm going to a show.
I mean, he probably was, let's be honest, but
rapper.
But yeah. So like, I actually like when he started putting the mixtapes out, I actually grew to fuck with Logic, and I was like, damn, this shit's pretty dope. Cause it was like some hip hop shit. The beats were fire.
Yeah. His beat selection solid. Yeah. I always kind of fucked
with beats fire. Selection. And, he was like, I liked the mixtapes and I liked his first album Under Pressure. Now after that,
kind of know
things started to change.
Kind of know.
Don't put this on there, because then if he sees me, he's not gonna fuck with me.
Twas ye.
Nah, but people shit on him, and I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, I hear what some of the stuff they're saying, but
I have shit on him.
He still made it, and he's
still richer than I am.
He's huge.
Yeah, still.
But he also had good tactics. And like, I saw the one thing he did where he went on tour just to play his album before it came out. I don't know if you peeped that. Just shit like that. I think it's about that core fan base. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. But yeah, we're running low on time here. But like, there's another this like, what's some like advice for like up and coming like producers and artists that like you would find help or like you wish you knew when you were like starting?
If you're talking artists, I would say, getting out and doing stuff. Like, everyone wants to do stuff online. That's cool. But definitely learn that getting out, meeting people, going into the city and shows, playing as many. Every time I've done a show, I get real fans. Like, that's authentic fans. You know what I mean?
Even we found that helpful. Just like, being at like every show and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Every
event. Yeah. And that's something I still need to do more of. Honestly, I've been slacking on the shows and trying to get some shows lined up. But yeah, that would be the main thing, I think, is because I also see how a lot of people end up blowing up. I think Logic did. He started doing those bigger shows, College Park, other shows, those college tours or whatever people do. Like, yeah, I mean, shows are a big thing. That and just like, I think just, I don't know, not being, like, I think it's good to be influenced by artists you like, but don't copy the same sound. Like, around here, it's a trend to make the same shit for some reason.
so many people make so many of the same songs,
which is cool. I get influenced by not. People.
No, it's not.
You're right. It's not cool. I just lied. If we, if it's we, not
if
cool.
We're, if we're not honest about it, it's going to keep happening, and yeah, it's just going to stay the same.
I 100% agree. I 100% agree.
That is not gangster.
One more piece of advice. One more piece of advice. Unless you're like Lil Wayne or you're really dope, like write your shit.
Right. Thank you. I am such a proponent of niggas writing shit.
Please
down.
Write because I've been recording Jay-Z, a lot of you're people.
Not Wayne, you know what I'm saying? Like just even write it. And even them, that's cap. They write.
Of course.
They write.
Everyone, you know, fucking writes.
Maybe not traditionally writing it down, but they sit and think about what they're about to say.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And like niggas.
It's just
like,
I could just tell every time I hear a song, at least from local people that record, when it's written versus it's freestyle. Like every time.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's easy to find. It's easy to hear. You know what I mean? Because you're just like, oh, this doesn't sound complete. This doesn't sound right. You know what I'm saying? Like you're just saying things in cadence. You know
right. What I mean? That's what I'm saying. So I think those are the main things.
What does the future hold for you? What do you think? Say like the next few years.
Yeah.
I'm really trying to go hard this year. Like I have to have a big break. I have to. Mm. If COVID doesn't fuck everything up.
It'll be fine.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I'm still going to make it happen because there's people making bread that don't even do shows. So like, you know, if that for some reason was a problem, but no, I think I plan on just being able to do this shit full time, you know, whether I don't really care about making a ton of money, but I want to make a solid career out of just making music. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the goal. I have some people kind of ready to invest and I got some moves I got to make, but I got to, I kind of have a plan, but I got to, master this plan and just put it into action.
Yeah, definitely, bro. Nah, hell yeah, bro. That makes a lot of sense, bro. And I think a lot of people need more of that kind of attitude. It's like, yeah, bro, like lay out a plan. Low key, write it down. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. I have a Google document. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And that attitude of just like kind of like freelancing, freewheeling kind of like attitude is just like, yeah, it'll get you like cool for a little while. But like after you get cool, you got to take advantage of that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You got to have a plan. You know?
100%. Yeah.
No, I definitely feel that, bro. But like, bro, Isaac, thank you for coming in.
Yo, thanks for having me.
I know you got to go soon, but like, yeah, sure. Bro, like, plug whatever you need to plug, like your all your ads, all your socials.
Yeah. So
like,
everything
when's the album coming out? You know what I'm saying?
So I don't have that date yet.
Soon.
So I'm trying to go maybe end of September, October. I don't want to wait too long, right? But I got these singles and I got a couple more videos I got to shoot. I want to have ready. But yeah, you can follow me at Isaac Leo on everything. At Isaac Leo Music. So ISAACLEO Music. That's right. On Instagram, TikTok.
Smart.
Trying to get my TikTok. I just got a TikTok to blow up, but it's not my music. It was my daughter.
Oh, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Hey, however you can do it, bro.
It's over 100K right now views.
Bro, just have your daughter do some funny shit. Just put it over your own music.
It's still blowing up. I'm still getting notifications right now from it.
Just put your music over it.
Yeah. There's a lot of haters. I'm like, I try not to look at comments because it's my video of my daughter. I'm like, I'm just going to want to beat everyone's ass in the comments. But
you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
But the shit is helping me. I looked at my Instagram stories blowing up right now because I think people are clicking from there. You know what I mean? TikTok is lit. Oh, it's stupid as shit. I hate it, but it works.
Everything's stupid, dude.
It works. Is the point?
Everything's stupid.
Bro, like,
and it worked. But
when I say that, I don't like TikTok.
Man,
it's in fact, I don't like any social media.
It is what it is. I cannot deny how merely effective a tool. It's a tool.
That's all I gotta say.
Four tools. Oh,
it is. There's there's a fuck ton of tools on there. That's for sure.
Yeah, you know.
But anyways, at Isaac Leo Music on everything. And then if you want to look me up on Apple Music, Spotify, it's literally just Isaac Leo. So ISAACLEO.
Bang. Hell yeah, guys. You know what I'm saying? Attic and Friends on all social media. Tommy Times, Money and Breakfast coming at you again. We Hook Cowboys in the Attic everywhere. Good podcast. Thank you, Isaac, for coming on, bro.
Thank you.
I had more questions, so you gotta come on again soon, bro.
Yeah, I'd love to.
No, hell yeah,
yes, sir.
But yeah, remember, guys, buy guns and land, and you know, we'll see you next time.
That's a wrap.
She my little Spanish mommy. I'm tryna take you home, girl. Just put it on me.
I just dropped the roof, tú eres traviesa. Treat you like some royalty, mi princesa. She my little Spanish mommy. I'm tryna take you home, girl, just put it on me. I just dropped the roof, tú eres traviesa. Treat you like some royalty, mi princesa. Princesa.